Preborn would like to thank AFR listeners for your prayer and financial support. During our special Preborn campaign, as a result of your donations, 4,500 babies will be saved and their mothers will hear the gospel. Just $28 pays for a free ultrasound, and when an abortion-minded mother sees her baby, she's likely to choose life. Learn more at preborn.com. Please continue to pray for Preborn and give as you're able. On behalf of unborn babies and their mothers, again, thank you.
It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
A verse we will get to eventually in Exodus is in Exodus 15, verse 2. It says, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." Well, with that verse from Exodus, today on Friday, many of you know we pull away from the book study that we're in, and we take questions all the hour. We call it Fire Away Friday. This is that day, Fire Away Friday, and we would like to hear from you. The number, if you've got a Bible question, it's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And Bert, if we had a drum roll, we would say congratulations and praise God and thank you, listeners. Sometime last evening, yesterday, after the show, the Facebook family went over 10,000 Facebook likes.
Woo! Yay!
Woo.
Yes!
That's right. And, well, thank you to all the listeners, of course. But kudos to Mr. W. Brent Austin, who has been doing our social media for a couple of years, and Brent, who is our engineer, too. He had a goal, we all did, to get 10,000 and growing. And I want to say to everybody that listens and follows us on Facebook and to Brent, who looks after Facebook, wow, 10,000, that's a lot, isn't it?
It really is. And matter of fact, to celebrate, we're going to give away two Bibles. And it's to the people that call, not call in, but come in on Facebook and ask questions. And Brent's going to be ready. We'll do that in a second segment. But Brent will read those questions from somebody on Facebook, and we'll get your mailing address and send you a Bible. We're going to do that to two to celebrate the Word of God going forth. We really believe if His Word goes forth, it will go forth and accomplish all that God intended it to do. So we're going to take questions from the phone lines and from Facebook today. Looking forward to it, Alex.
Amen. And I just got a little blip here. Pro Family Illinois is now following us, and just people everywhere. Hey, the number, if you've got a Bible question, it might be about Exodus, some of the content that we've been in this week, or maybe it's another kind of Bible question or something regarding your Christian growth or spiritual issues. The number is 888-589-8840. And Bert, as we get the calls up, I got to ask, are you in a pulpit somewhere this weekend?
I am. I finished my interim work that I did at Unity Baptist Church. They got a full-time pastor now, so I'm between interims. But Sunday, I'll be in Starkville, Mississippi, home of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, by the way. I just thought I'd throw that in for Brent's, benefit. But anyway, I'll be at Meadowview Baptist Church Saturday night. I'm going to be at a men's rally, and they've sold tickets to that. We're looking forward to that. And then Sunday morning, I'll be preaching at Meadowview Baptist Church about standing firm in the faith, in the family, as a man of God, as a family. So I'm looking forward to it. What about you, Alex?
Well, on February 2nd, which is this Sunday, I'll be at Mount Pleasant Church that I've been helping out off and on for a year now. And it's right between Greensboro and Chapel Hill, Mount Pleasant Church. But February is coming up, and of course, at the end of the month, the 20th through the 23rd, I'll be in Wichita, Kansas at Metro East Baptist Church. We're doing a father-son men's event and evangelism. And so I've got a lot of things on the calendar in February, and they're at my website, which is alexmcfarland.com.
Okay, well, let's get to the phone calls that's called in. And again, those of you that has questions on Facebook, Brent will be reading some of those in the second segment. But first, let's go to Kentucky and talk to Steve. Steve, thank you for calling.
Good afternoon, Bert and Alex. How are you guys doing?
Doing great today. It's a great day. Yes, go ahead, brother.
It's good to hear your voice. Alex and Bert, you know, so much of Scripture, and that would include Exodus as well as all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's written in third person because it's describing things and events that are happening that the person wouldn't, I mean, it's not the second person, it's a narrator of the third person who's telling you things that nobody could possibly know. Things that happened, like between Moses and, you know, when his wife threw the foreskins in front of Moses and said, "You are a bloody husband to me." Well, how on earth would that, you know, Moses wouldn't have written that, right?
Well, a lot of it is, hey, it's a mixture of it, Steve. It really is first person experiences. I love the book of Luke. You remember what it says? He says, many have taken in hand to write, but I've investigated and through faith, eyewitnesses and such, I want to report to you what's happening. And then you do have those way. Only God would know, Alex. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, the miracle of inspiration that God gave the words, you know, you mentioned Luke. Well, in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan was tempting Jesus, Jesus said that man does not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And do you know, the word is theopneustos, in other words, God breathed. Like you said, you know, it's interesting. When Luke said, as much as many have taken to write an account of the things we have seen and heard, I, as beautiful, Luke said, having had perfect understanding from above. And in the Greek, it's the very same word as John 3:16, you must be born again, born from above. Now, what am I saying? You're right. You've got, in the Old Testament, you've got history. You've got narrative. You've got eyewitness accounts of things in the New Testament as well. You've got poetry. You've got prophecy. And Bert, regardless of maybe the beautiful poetic language of Song of Solomon, or you've got the historical word of 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, I believe every word of the Bible is the words given by God, superintended by God, the literal word of God. In fact, I think that's how Jesus took it.
Yeah.
You know,
I would agree. But yet at the same time, I'm not denying that. Yet at the same time, you see the personality of Mark. I mean, immediately, you know, and then John, the conversations. So this is a unique, dynamic Bible, more than any book in the world. It is separate and completely God breathed, God inspired, but yet at the same time, having the men that wrote it with their personalities and abilities. Paul's, you know, Peter said he wrote many things hard to be understood. You know, Peter was a fisherman. Paul was just a great theologian. So the Word of God is amazing, isn't it, Alex?
It is, and this might not be a perfect illustration because the Word of God is infallible. And it's impossible for God to lie. You know, in God is light and no darkness at all. We talked about in Exodus 3:14, the I am that I am is part of God's eternality. And part of the reason that God is eternal is in God is no death. Now, there would be no death except for sin. So in God, because there's no death in God, there's no sin in God, therefore God could not lie or make a mistake.
Amen.
So I believe the Bible is perfect. But let me give you something. This isn't ideal, but I think about somebody like Billy Graham, who preached. And did Billy Graham's ministry reflect the will of God? I certainly think so. Think about somebody like D. James Kennedy. D. James Kennedy was the one who founded Evangelism Explosion. Now, D. James Kennedy was really, really, really polished. He was an orator. And, I mean, he had an extensive vocabulary, and he's responsible for a lot of people getting saved. Billy Graham is responsible for a lot of people getting saved. Here's my thing. Each man did God's ministry that he had called them to, but yet the personality and voice of each one very different, and yet it was the will of God. And that's why I think when you read the different, whether it be Luke the physician or John or 1st and 2nd Peter, the voice of the individual is not stifled, and yet it is the will of God and the word of God.
Amen. Well, he's our creator. Why shouldn't he not be it that way? And it makes it unique, and I say that truth, a uniquely inspired, authoritative, infallible word of God. Let's go to Oklahoma. Brett, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. I hope you can hear me. I'm on speakerphone.
No, you're good. Is it Brett?
You sound good.
Excellent. It's Brett, B-R-E-T.
Brett. Okay, good. Go ahead, man.
My question deals with the Holy Spirit. I understand Father of God created everything through Christ coming to earth in the form of Jesus, that he sacrificed his life and his blood cleanses us. But what is the role of the Holy Spirit in man, and how should we interact with the Holy Spirit?
Okay, great question. The Holy Spirit is mentioned, and I just got to do this introduction, in creation, and the Spirit of the Lord moved over the face of the deep. How important that is. All three is involved in it. Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. But Jesus says, I must ascend to the Father so that I can send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, Alex, he has a ministry. He's going to convict. He's going to encourage. He's going to do a lot of work, isn't he?
He is. And, you know, you and I did a show a couple of years ago on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we talk at length about that the Spirit of God is a person. And what's interesting is that the word pneuma, which is breath or wind or spirit, in general, that word is a neuter word. And yet, frequently in the Bible, the Spirit of God, it will say he. And so it will put a masculine pronoun with the designation for the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit has and is the mind of God. The Holy Spirit makes choices, calling different ones. The Holy Spirit gives gifts, self-same gifts as he sees fit. So the Holy Spirit thinks, chooses, interacts in a personal way with individual Christians. The Holy Spirit was a participant in creation. The Holy Spirit is definitely a participation in redemption. So the Spirit of God bears the attributes of personhood.
Amen. So, Alex, let me throw this in. Time's fleeting. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. That's the personality, the feel, you know, that personal feeling, grieving the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And so, yes, he is a lot of times people say Holy Spirit, leave the definite article off. Either way is fine. But Holy Spirit, he is that third person of the Godhead, isn't he?
He is. Well, this is a Fire Away Friday. We're so honored you're listening. We would love for you to call in with a Bible question. Here's the number, 888-589-8840. After this break, more of your questions.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding, and Preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget. as they rescue over 200 babies every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies. So be generous. You'll never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Amen. If you don't recognize that, that's Big Daddy Weave, and he can sing. Brent, you like Big Daddy Weave. You put him
on. I do. And yeah. The reason I did that song is the title of the song, We Want the World to Hear. It's the whole reason that I pushed and pushed to get Facebook to where it was, because we do want the whole world to hear.
Amen. We're celebrating today, but we celebrated last night when Brent got the word that we were over 10,000.
Yes,
and praise the Lord.
7 o'clock last night.
Amen. Well, we're going to take two questions from Facebook, at least two. So we're going to, and those of you on the phones, don't hang up. We're going to get to you as well. But let's give one of the questions on Facebook, and this person will get one of these Bibles.
No. What we're doing.
You're going to pick those out later.
Down.
Oh, come
you,
on now.
You need to ask your question.
Yeah.
And then if you put a question on Facebook, send me your email.
Okay.
And I've got the email posted on Facebook. So you got to go on Facebook and
see what's happening.
Because it's not our normal one.
So all we do for these people is answer their question.
Yes.
And, okay.
And
go
just
ahead,
because
Brent.
Your question got answered doesn't mean you're going to get a Bible.
Oh, man.
Doesn't mean you won't get a Bible.
Okay. Go
but
ahead.
Everybody that puts a question on there will be entered. So.
Okay.
All right. This is from Mitch. He says, about a year and a half ago, we did a small group using your book, 100 Bible Questions and Answers. I know you have a book on the same for families. Are y'all doing a volume 2 on 100 Bible Questions? Thought I heard you say that you were, but it could be the one I mentioned I listen to every day at 3 while on the road working. Oh, and I could always use a new Bible.
Okay.
Amen.
Oh, go ahead, Alex.
Well, thank you for that question. And my goodness, I'm so excited that you guys did a small group study on the first, which is the first 100 Questions book, came out 4 years ago. And again, we're so grateful to all of you listeners for really providing really, really good questions. And so back, it was during COVID, Bert and I worked on this book of 100 Bible Questions and Answers. And Bert, as far as I knew, I thought that would be it.
Yeah.
You and I wrote
a book. But the questions kept coming in, right?
They did. And so the publisher, Broad Street Publishing, called us about the same time, Tim Wildman, the president of AFA. Tim said, are you guys going to do volume 2? So we prayed about it, and then it would have been the fall of 23, we released book number 2, 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families.
And I believe you can go to Resources AFA and get that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So that's where you can get that. What is there a third one coming?
Well, there is, and we did volume 2, and I kind of thought that would be it. And then Tim Wildman and the publisher said, hey, what else you got? So coming out this fall, and we're finishing up, it's 99.9% finished. We're doing a final edit, spell check, all that kind of good stuff. But we have coming out 100 Bible Questions on Prophecy and the End Times. And this is going to be offered during Share-a-thon. And then, you know, one thing, I was even talking to the publisher Monday, maybe 2 or 3 years from now, they're going to put all 3 in one hardback volume.
Wow.
But right now there are three different volumes. Volumes 1 and 2 are out. I praise God. They're in places like Barnes & Noble. People have texted me photos. They're in Costco and places like that. We like it when you get them from the AFA Resource That's Store. Right. And, Bert, what is that website again, please?
Resources. You can go to Resources AFA, and you can find it. Or you can just go to afa.net, and it'll take you there as well. So you can find it, AFA.
But let me say this. It's not that Bert and Alex have any answers, but it's that God's Word has all the answers.
Amen.
And so we only can say what the Bible says to the best of our ability.
And that's exactly what we try to do on this program and in the books. Hey, Alex, man, we got a lineup of people. You ready to go to the phone lines?
Yes, sir.
Daniel in Illinois. Daniel, what's your question, brother?
Hey, I appreciate you guys and what you do. I've got a question about cremation. We have a family member, and they speak against it, like it's really a not a good thing to do and all this, and it's against the Word. And I said, well, I don't never remember reading in the Word that there's anything about creation in there, I mean cremation. And so the family person that is thinking about cremation, we're not a wealthy family, and he cannot, he couldn't get a funeral for anything less than $10,000, and so he's talking about cremation because it's $3,000. But is there anything in the Bible, yay or nay, or anything about cremation?
Daniel, Alex and I get this question quite often, and we do believe it is a freedom question of the individual. But when it comes to the issue of stewardship, and I'll tell this story real quickly. A great Bible teacher, Richard Henderson, he taught at Mid-America Theological Seminary outside of Memphis, Tennessee, just a great theologian. He was the first pastor that I knew that was cremated, and it was simply because of finances and missions. He said, I had rather use the extra, say, like you, $10,000 and then $3,000. He said, I'd rather spend that $7,000 on reaching people for Christ, because God can put ashes and dust back together. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, I really think it's a matter of Christian liberty. In Romans 14:5, and I don't know if this is completely applicable, but I tend to think it is. But Paul is talking about, one person observes a day and another person doesn't. And it says, let everyone be persuaded in his own mind. And do you know, the Bible does not specifically specify a mode of burial or disposable of a human body. And I realize, traditionally, Old and New Testaments, the church age, the mode of burial has traditionally been, burial or interment. But, some people live in very dense urban areas and there aren't cemeteries. And then other people, it is an economic consideration. And then other people, it's just I'd rather spend money on missions than on, a casket. I will say this, Bert, in the pastorate, I've watched families really go in debt and hurt themselves. And they would say, well, this, exorbitantly expensive casket and vault, I've got to do this to honor my loved one. Be careful about doing something like that. I really believe it's a matter of Christian liberty. And like you said, that when the trumpet sounds, the Lord will certainly reconstitute the bodies that have been scattered to the four winds.
Amen.
And the body and the spirit will be united for every human that's ever lived.
I remember correctly, he made us the first Adam out of the dust of the ground. I think he can do it again. Amen. Hey, listen, let's go to the Facebook question, the second one for this, and then we'll get back to all the people who've called in today.
All right. The next one has to do with your favorite subject, animals.
Oh, man, yes. That's Alex's favorite subject.
I'd love to hear you guys talk
about this. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Will Fido be in heaven?
Marie wants to know, I hope I'm saying it right, M-A-R-I, from New Mexico, have a question about the Bible. I love all animals, and I want to know if the Bible says What happens to animals when they die?
Okay. We know animals are going to be in heaven. We know the horses are there, Alex, and it's going to be similar to the garden. We know that. You know, some similarities is be better than the garden, and animals are all in the garden, so I believe they're going to be there. What about animals down here that are living? And you answer that, and because we, you know, go ahead and answer that as best you can.
Well, you know what? I don't know if many people are equestrians, but body of Christ, you're going to ride horseback, because when Christ returns, he comes on a white horse, and following behind him are 10,000 times 10,000, which I really think is a kind of a euphemism for a number so large it can't be numbered. We know the lion will lie down with the lamb. We know that the nursing infant will safely play next to the adder's den, and there'll be horses in heaven. So will there be animals in heaven? Definitely. I think so. And let me also say, we've got a dear friend named Eric Metaxas, and Eric is just a brilliant guy. And we were on a show one time, and somebody asked, would there be animals in heaven? And Eric Metaxas and I, and the only reason I bring his name up is because I think he's a well-spoken, very reflective, insightful Christian. He said, think about it. The artistry of God, the giraffe, the hummingbird, the butterfly, the bunny rabbit, the, humpback turtle. Bert, I happen to believe the animal kingdom, equine, that's horses. Bovine, that's cows. Canine, that's dogs. The panorama of the animal kingdom is so beautiful that, if I were an artist, I certainly would want to include that in my gallery. Yep. And God is an artist. Now, here's the thing, and what I'm about to say is going to sound controversial. Take it with less than a grain of salt. Will my animal that I love as my pet be in heaven? Let me tell you what, for what it's worth, Martin Luther, C.S. Lewis, Billy Graham, G.K. Chesterton, they were great Christian thinkers. And all three of them would say, maybe. Now, I realize one of the main arguments against our pets going to heaven, people will say, oh, come on, give me a break. But really, believe it or not, there have been some Christian thinkers that have put a fair amount of thought in this. And here's where the bottom argument is. Now, first of all, we don't know. We don't know. We know that in the atonement, Christ purchased our own salvation and the restoration of all things. But here is the argument that Luther made, that the more highly domesticated animals that legitimately demonstrate personality, the dog is in the life of the owner, much like we are in Christ. And if everything redeemed about the owner gets resurrected, then on the one hand, at the very least, this is what C.S. Lewis would say, if personality survives death, the animals that have personality, there's at least a chance that maybe they will be in the New Jerusalem.
Well, I noticed you mentioned, horses and dogs and cows, but what about felines? I mean,
I'm
asking a dog lover about that. Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Well, you know what? Cats have personality too. I mean, they really do.
Okay. Now,
and I realize this is very speculative, but on the flip side, I'll say this and I'll hush. I don't see any scriptural content that necessarily says they couldn't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to leave it there today. That's a big question we get ever so often. And thank you, Brent, and we appreciate that. Okay, let's go to Iowa. Is it Gary?
Yeah, this is Gary.
Okay, Gary, go ahead, man.
Okay, yeah, I just appreciate you guys. I get more truth, I think, from you guys than at the church I've been attending. And I'm just curious about heresy. Could you give me a definition of heresy? I mean, is it?
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Brent. We're going to stay with the Word of God. And when we don't know, just like the animal situation, we're going to line up with you and say, hey, that's one of those questions, possible, don't know. But heresy, false teachers, false teaching. And you always want to look at what they say about Jesus Christ. That's the centerpiece of everything, Jesus Christ. Alex, take it from there.
Yeah, the word heresy is really a word that means, you know, alternative or falsehood or contrary. You know, if orthodoxy, and the word ortho is like a bone that's been set, and doxology is glory to God. So orthodoxy is truth that is from God and brings glory to God. Heterodoxy is hetero is multiple contrary teachings, and heresy is a word related to heterodox. So you do want orthodox teaching. You do not want heterodox teaching. Now, what are some heresies? Well, denial of who God has revealed himself to be. God has revealed himself to be Trinity in unity, one God, and yet Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, yet one God. Jesus is not merely a good man, but the God-man. And John 8:24, Jesus said, "If you don't regarding his deity, if you don't believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins." Now, Bert, here are some things that are, and you and I have taught on this, not only our own study, but throughout church history. The triune eternal God, Jesus, God incarnate, the Son of God, his deity, the blood atonement, that the blood of Jesus on Calvary's cross, that and that alone is the payment for human sin, that Jesus physically rose from the dead, the Bible is the infallible Word of God. These are some of the non-negotiables of the Christian Orthodox Christian faith, aren't they?
They really are. And notice, and I said it opening, I try to make an opening statement, and it's true. It's all centered in Christ. His words, the Word of God, what he said in those words, like marriage, what he says about our identity, male and female, all of those are teachings that is biblical, and we stay with it concerning salvation, concerning the Word of God and its authority. Well, we're going to be back with more of your questions here on Exploring the Word right after the break. Don't go away.
This Sanctity of Life Month, we honor the over 66 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion since Roe. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at even greater risk now. But in the midst of this darkness, there is a light that shines, and that's Preborn. Preborn's network of clinics have rescued over 300,000 babies from abortion and have prayed with over 80,000 women to come to Christ.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be three. I don't know where my life would be without her.
An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. This is Bert Harper, asking you to join Preborn in protecting life. One ultrasound session costs $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. Any gift will help, $100, $200, $1,000. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Hallelujah, we cry. Hallelujah. We're living for your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, we sing. Hallelujah, we cry. Hallelujah. We're living for your name.
Amen. We are singing hallelujah for who Jesus Christ is. We're also praising the Lord for 10,000 likes, followers on Amen. Our Facebook page. And we're celebrating that by getting questions and people that are calling, that are coming in on Facebook, and they give their address. Brent's going to draw out two of those names and send them Bibles and celebrating what we're doing. But we're going to go one more question from Facebook, and then we'll get to these calls, and we're going to give as quick answers as we can. Give us that question from Facebook. And something you want to say about Facebook, you want to say thank you or what, Brent? What do you want to say?
I do. I want to say thank you so much to everybody. And I, most of all, I want to thank Bert and Alex. I want to thank God first, but I want to thank Bert and Alex for taking me in, making me feel at home, listening to all my crazy rants. And I'm blessed to work with you guys. And
well, it's a blessing. Hey, brother, you add a lot to it.
We have a good time, don't we?
We do.
We do have a great time.
Amen.
And I want Facebook to be a place where you can come during the show, ask for prayer requests, pray for each other.
And Brent shares that with us, and we're able to do that. And so keep it up.
Yes, definitely. I've got one more question. It says, this is Gary. He said, what does it mean when the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first? Do we not go to heaven when we die immediately? And can you elaborate on that?
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you notice, when a believer dies, his body stays here, doesn't it, Alex?
Exactly. We get, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. But apparently, the state in heaven is going to be different, because when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Bert, that's when we get our permanent, forever glorified body. Now, the state of the saved with Jesus is tangible, it's real, it's glorious, but there's even something better. And I had this illustration, and this is not perfect. This is probably pretty elementary. But I remember when I played baseball, Little League, and then I also played up through 10th grade, we had our away uniform, but we also had our home team uniform.
Yeah.
And even on the road, the away games, it was great. But when we played at the stadium there at Southeast High School in the home uniform, that was extra special. I don't know. Maybe we'll get that. The glorified body is the home game.
The
uniform.
Home uniform. Amen. Hey, when I played basketball, our home uniforms was white jerseys. Our away ones was red. We're going to have white robes. I think our home uniforms may be dressed in white. We'll see. Hey, thank you so much for those of you on Facebook, and we continue to want you to like us and communicate with us. We'd love it. Let's go to Kansas and talk to Carol on the telephone. Carol, thank you for calling.
Oh, gosh, I've been wanting to get into this all the time. I'll see if I can ask this question quickly, but it's a little wordy. Okay, in Genesis 18, from 1 to 15, that's where Abraham is at the trees there at Mamre, he and Sarah, and she's in the tent. And there's three men. He says he looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, okay, then later in that passage it talks about, I said, my Lord, if you have found favor in your sight. Then down in verse 5 it says they, and it says do it says they again, and then down a little farther then in verse 10, it says he said, and then again down lower, it says the Lord, and then down at the bottom, it said he said. So in that passage, it's kind of confusing me, and I'm trying to think, okay, I had somebody explain that it was three angels. Well, if it's three angels, why does it keep saying he in large letters? And I'm using the NIV and the New King James, both comparing okay. those. So is it the three persons of the Trinity, or is it three angels?
Okay, Carol, thank you for that. Alex, we hadn't got a lot of time, got a lot of questions. Go ahead, man.
Well, like in Genesis 18, 13 and 14, Lord in all caps is the word Yahweh. Isn't that something? So a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, but yet like in verse 3, 18, 3, it's Adonai, which is a variant of Adonai. You know, Lord can mean leader or authority figure, or if it's all caps and it's Yahweh, it can mean God. 18:1, the Lord appeared to him in the plains. He lifted up his eyes and three men stood by him. Bert, I think it was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ with two angels.
Attending with him. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That is not unusual for that, Carol. You'll find over in the New Testament, even one time it says two, and then one angel. If there was two, there was one. And a lot of times it's according to who you concentrated on, who they're talking with and who is speaking. So it's a great way to find out and great question. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Phyllis. Phyllis, thank you for calling.
Hey, I'm reading through the Bible again for about the third time in my 77 years, so that's not much. But every time I do, I read something different, find something different. In Leviticus, the fourth chapter, and some other places in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it talks about specifically bringing a female animal for a sacrifice. Now, why would they change it from male to female?
Go ahead, Alex.
You know, I don't know other than to specify some very, very definite things that were matters of obedience for the Levites and the Israelites. But off the top of my head, I really don't know other than just the specific, you know, the law was a tutor or a schoolmaster to show us how much we needed a Savior. I really don't know other than the sacrifices showed that the life is in the blood and sin costs life. And with male and female sacrifices, I think it means that sin has touched all of life on this earth.
Yeah, it does say, you know, a female, bring that female without blemish. Now, the whole thing was without blemish, but agreed, Alex, it is for everyone, male and female, and we see that carried out in the New Testament about salvation and who is saved. Phyllis, thank you for noticing that. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Fran. Fran, thank you for calling.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I really appreciate how you all approach study of the Word with the integrity of allowing Bible to interpret Bible. And amen. I just wanted to say on the animals, God never changes. When he created the earth, he created animals, and he said, that's good. And amen. When he had to destroy the earth because of Noah having to build an ark, and man had just gotten in such a bad shape, what did he do before he closed that door of the ark? He had the animals sent in, and he preserved them. And we have animals even today. And in heaven, the Lord is going to do the same thing. We're going to have animals because he said they were good. And he's not going to take away anything from man that he created and called it good.
Okay, friend. Amen. It is an awesome story to see God and how he has taken care of that and how he uses those animals, as you have said earlier, Alex, you know, even enemies now, but in that time in heaven and thereafter, they're going to be at peace with one another, not just at peace with one another, lay down. I mean, have you ever seen a dog and a cat, you know, that are close? It is amazing. So it's going to be something that day, isn't it?
It is. Hey, I got to give a quick shout out to Dave Dabney. You know, birthday Dave, we have a great set of listeners. Okay, a couple minutes ago, I said, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I said 2 Corinthians 5:21, which is real. And the minute that thing rolled out of my mouth, Bert, I knew I got it wrong, because 2 Corinthians 5:8 is absent from the body, present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. The minute I realized, oh man, I got it wrong. Well, Dave Dabney is listening, and he texted me and he said, Alex, brother, you got that one wrong. And I want to admit, when I make a mistake, and I just want to give kudos to our very, very astute listeners like Dave Dabney. You're right, brother, and we want to be accurate with how we handle God's precious word.
Amen. Just let me share two things. It's live radio, so we don't have time to go back and edit it and check it. And the second thing, Alex and I are still human. Yeah. Alex and we're real human, as Brent would say. And we thank God for that. Hey, Dave, shout out to you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Props to you, brother.
You bet. Let's go to Wyoming and talk to Michael. Michael, thank you for calling out in all the way in Wyoming.
Yes. Yes. I had a question on about tithing. It's been a long process of time. I've been a born-again Christian for some time, enjoyed my to my oldest brothers. But we have similarities in what we believe. However, I'll just talk about the issue of tithing. My pastor insists on tithing and preaches about tithing a lot. And I think that's important to a certain point, but my brothers come to me sometimes my brothers come to me by my side looking, of course, a few years ago anyway, because my brothers weren't active then, but they really were diligent and they were Bible literate, but they still believed that tithing was, it was just pulled me to the side and say, Mike, you don't have to tithe. So I just want to hear from you.
Okay,
I know the Bible,
Michael.
Says,
thank you. Thank you, man. We're trying to do this and answer as many questions as we can. So usually I give a little longer answers than this, but let me share with you. And I believe this, if we tithe under the law, how much more should we give under grace? Now, I know that's a statement that's not biblical verse in scripture, but also, Alex, let me see. Jesus said some these things you should have done and not left the others undone. And one of the things that they were doing, they were tithing, and he said that was good for you to do that, didn't he?
Yeah, I want to give you an Old Testament and a New Testament scripture. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance, the first fruits. And the word there is wealth. Honor the Lord with your finances and give. And I'll read the whole thing, Proverbs here. And the first fruits of all your produce, and then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. But then in the New Testament, you know, there are a lot that I could say, but how about this? How about 2 Corinthians chapter 9? It says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Each one must give as he has purposed in his heart, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I really do think for the Christian under grace, compared with the Israelite under law, that the 10% is the starting point. And really, tithing is not a money issue. It's a faith issue, really. And I will say this, the gospel is free, but it takes resources to deliver that free message. And, you know, I just give God the glory. Angie and I know Angie would say this, Bert, what I'm saying, we have learned so much about trusting the Lord in terms of giving. And I will tell you, it's a step of faith, believe me. But trust God in your giving, and you watch him meet your needs. He will do it.
He will. And listen, he said, prove me and try me and see if I'll not pour out blessings to you. Michael, thank you for calling all the way from Wyoming, and we appreciate you so much. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Arthur. Arthur, thank you for calling. Arthur, are you there? Arthur. Okay, we're not getting a good signal. Let's go to Jake in Arkansas. Jake, thank you for calling.
Thank you, guys, and I'm learning a lot by listening to you, and appreciate the little lady saying scripture, and Charles Stanley used to say this, scripture interprets scripture.
Amen.
Amen.
Alex, one day when y'all were in Ephesians, this was weeks ago, in Ephesians 4 and 5, it says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and you said, I really believe that's Holy Spirit baptism. And you may have quoted 1 Corinthians 12:13 at that point. But then I got to looking at the Ephesian letter, and in chapter 5, where he talks about husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church, he says that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So to me, that does not sound like Holy Spirit baptism. And if you look at Acts 19, where Paul comes into Ephesus, he meets some disciples and he asks them, have they received the Holy Spirit? And they say, we don't even know if there is one.
That's right. Hey, Jake, I know we're cutting you short. We got 1 minute left. Alex, what Jake said, respond, brother.
Galatians 3:28, and what I recall that I was saying there in Galatians 3:28, to be baptized into Christ is to put on Christ. And it says that we are all one through faith. So the New Testament uses the word baptism in two senses. There's water baptism, which is a believer's baptism. But really, when you put your faith in Jesus and you're born again, regenerated by the Spirit, you are baptized into Christ, having put on Christ through faith. Now, water baptism, I was baptized publicly. It's a fine thing to do. I encourage it. But really, the minute you are born again by putting your faith in Jesus, you're baptized
Amen.
Into Christ.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word, and we'll be back next week with more of the book of Ephesians. No, Exodus, excuse me.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.